Did you get enough production out of your outside receivers, in particular, Austin Cooper at 97 snaps?
Yeah, we had a couple drops in there. I don't think Cooper's targeted, so sometimes that's not the receiver's fault in terms of where his production is. He can't do anything except run his routes and run his plays. But we missed Miles on the one. Obviously, the crossing route on the drag for the interception, and then we had a drop going down the other way, and then we had the one that we threw to him, but we didn't get the foot down inbound. So.
Should he have done a better job of getting tracking his foot
bounce? I mean, from the angle we saw in film, it was extremely close. But his foot was out, so it was out. So.
Should he have done a better job going for the pass in the end zone? Austin.
Done a what? Better
should
job?
Should he have done a better job making an effort towards the pass? Well, it seemed like he wasn't ready for it.
He was reading the coverage as he went across, and we probably shouldn't have thrown the ball is what we shouldn't have done. So.
What can you tell us about Sam Bradford?
I don't have any information. I meet with the trainers after this every Monday. So.
Yeah, you mentioned a concussion. Yeah. Is the shoulder a non-issue?
They didn't say anything about that. They just said he hurt his shoulder, but he's in concussion protocol. So that's a thing we'll deal with. And then, again, I'll meet with them after this meeting, after this today. So I meet with them probably around 2 or 2:30.
Is it possible Derek could give us an update later?
Ask Derek. Derek.
As you put the game plan together today, is it with Marcus and quarterback?
We don't meet till after this, so we get all that information and then we start our game planning. So,
Chip, with the some of the players talked yesterday about detail and attention to detail. Mm-hmm. The way you practice, does that encourage attention to detail? You don't stop and correct things; you do it in meetings.
Yeah, very much so. It does. Yeah, it does.
Do you know when Sam Bradford's concussion occurred?
I think on that play.
Certain.
I haven't talked to Sam since the game, so I couldn't tell you for certain, but I was told on that play. That's what I was told, so.
It sounded like the snap was the issue on the missed field goal and the punt block. Is John Dornbos still going to be the lone snapper?
Yeah, I mean, we need to clean some things up. We obviously didn't the ball on the punt and the long snap weren't in the right spot, but we need to clean that whole operation up.
On the fourth down play, when Mark threw it to Jordan Matthews, yeah, was a couple yards short of the first down. Mm-hmm. Was that just because he didn't have enough time?
He didn't have enough time. We had four verticals going. Riley Cooper actually was coming open, coming down the seam, so wasn't Zach Ertz. It was single high safety. But when Mark got to the top of his drop, the defensive end was in his face, so I think he had to get the ball off. It was a four-man rush, but we didn't do a good enough job protecting him, give him an opportunity to get it. So on that play, we ran four guys deep, and we had one guy as a check down if they ran out of there in coverage. But he really didn't get a chance to get to the top of his drop and set his feet and throw the football.
How much different is the offense with Sam as opposed to Mark?
I don't think it's much different.
Were you game plan differently with
him? We don't, no.
Just how now for the inconsistency up front with the O-line, and they played so well in Dallas, mm-hmm, and then come back and just struggle so
I think hard. That's a question for everybody in this league. You know, it's every week is a different week. Every opponent is a different opponent. And, except with the exception of about four or five teams right now, I think everybody's kind of doing the same thing. You look one week and they look like gangbusters, and then the next week it's not so much. You know, like Green Bay was out and won six straight, and now they've lost three straight, you know. But that's what we try to preach all the time. There's not any game-changing or turning points in seasons or anything like that. Is that every single week expresses itself differently in terms of who you're playing and what you're getting matched up in, and some teams match up better than other teams with guys. But it just comes down to consistency, I think, especially on the offensive side of the ball. We were just so inconsistent, which is really kind of uncharacteristic of us, especially in the last couple of weeks. But, you know, we had a holding penalty on a naked play on that side. When we're over on this side, it's a 12-yard gain. Instead of a 12-yard gain, we lost 22 because we're minus 10 on a play where we're not even involved in a play. So it's the details, and the team that does a better job ends up victorious. And I think right now, 80 out of 145 games in this league are decided by a touchdown or less. It's 55% of the game. So it can literally come down to one play. And they make one more play than we do, then you end up on the wrong side of it. But we've lost to Atlanta by a field goal or less. We lost to Washington by a field goal or less. And we lost this game by a point. So, you know, it's if someone makes one more play, then we have an opportunity. But we didn't. You know, it's not – those aren't excuses. But it's what we really have to understand, how important each play is when you're out there, and the attention to detail and doing the little things right are the difference between us winning and losing. And we've come up on the right side four times, and we've come up on the downside five times. So.
Why is attention to detail such a problem?
I think it's a problem with everybody. I mean, that's what the nature of the game is. And if you're one more play better than your opponent, you're going to win. And that's what it comes down to right now in terms of these stretch games that have been really very critical for us. But it's, you could say the same thing from the games we won. You know, so you know, I think you always say it's one play away when you lose the game, but it's the same thing when you win the game. The mistakes are still there when you win the game. It's just the team that can execute the best is going to win on Sundays in this league.
How much is the responsibility on the coach?
It's on all of us.
When there's a breakdown in detail.
It's on all of us. You know, are we teaching it the right way in the classroom? Are we teaching it the right way on the field? Are we communicating well enough so that they go out and have an opportunity to execute it? So it all falls on us.
If there's only a handful of teams in the league that have that consistency, or you're a little bit better than the other guys, did you anticipate coming into the season that you would be one of those teams rather than a team that blows back and forth?
I don't anticipate going in what we're going to be on a long-term basis. Again, we approach it, what do we got to do this week to beat this team? So.
At what point would Sam need to be cleared before?
We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. We haven't even had a discussion about it.
Darren Sproles played very little snaps until Ryan Matthews got hurt. Why was that?
We were in a lot more 12 personnel early. He's playing slot receiver with Jordan, but in the first, you know, really that first quarter and the beginning of the second quarter, we were in a lot more 12 personnel, so we really didn't have a slot receiver on the field. So that's where he was rotating in 11 personnel, and then we were rotating DeMarco and Ryan at the running back spot, and then we switched him from receiver back to running back when Ryan got hurt.
Have you found it increasingly difficult to utilize the mismatch that he presents since the first game of the season?
Have I found, I don't know, some question. Well, a lot of times when he goes in there, he gets two people covering him, so there aren't mismatches. It's an advantage for the defense, so we have to go away from him, you know what I mean?
So wouldn't you want him on the field more if he's getting double coverage a lot?
Not if we're in 12 personnel, because we're trying to run the football, so I don't think Darren can play wing for us, so.
Back to the outside receivers, Cooper has had zero receptions in 5 of the 9 games. Mm-hmm. Miles Austin, zero receptions in 4 of the 9. And the production, just generally speaking, across the board hasn't been there. I mean, how much of an obstacle has that been for you to overcome this?
I don't believe it's an obstacle, because I think there's a lot of things we're doing in targeting our inside receivers and our tight ends just because of matchups. So part of our game plan, we knew going into this game that our tight ends and our inside receivers were going to be huge components in terms of what we were trying to do. So we're trying to get the ball to those guys. We knew in play action pass, some of the deep over routes and things like that were going to be difficult for them to catch. So we don't really care who we get the production from as long as we're getting production from the entire offense.
Why not mix Jordan more as an outside receiver?
We do. I mean, so Jordan is moving in and out there, but Darren does not move out there. So Darren hasn't practiced as an outside receiver. So Jordan played the most snaps out of any receiver we have.
But it was still in the 50% as opposed to say 78%.
But when you're going to play the amount of snaps we're playing, he still played 60, I think, close to 60 snaps in the game. You know what I mean? We had 98 snaps on the offensive side of the ball. So, you know, we also have to keep our guys fresh. You can't keep a guy out there. There's a point in time when you're playing 80, 90 snaps in a game, you're not going to be very productive, especially the way we ask our receivers to run. You know, the yards traveled in a game is pretty high for those guys. I mean, you're getting a lot of press man, so in run situations, you're running people off. Sometimes on individual plays, you're running 30, 40 yards down the field, you know, and so we need to keep those guys fresh. Part of that is that's why we're rotating all those guys.
So. Did you think there were any mismatch advantages on the outside with Brent Grimes sidelined and then McCain went down?
Yeah, but not the mismatches we thought we had on the inside. Again, I thought we had production from our passing game, so I wasn't concerned with what we were doing out there. I think, you know, Brent had, what, 120, I think? You know, we thought we were pretty productive. We 100 what?
134.
I thought we were very productive with our passing game. So again, we don't care if it comes from throwing it inside, throwing it outside. It's just, are we moving the football? And we moved the football, but the penalties were the biggest thing I think offensively that held us back yesterday.
Jason Kelce.
Sanchez made it up. I mean, obviously the interception, you know, was a big down for him. But I think he made some other plays. But the throw he made to Zach Ertz on the big play on the over route where he avoided the rush, stepped up in the pocket, was a good play. We ran a naked once where the defensive end didn't bite. He came underneath and made a real good pass to Selleck. He did a good job on the sideline throw to DeMarco when he escaped the pocket and then took it down the sideline. So I thought there were some good plays in there, but obviously one that he'd like back.
Chip, Jason Kelce is really upset with his play. Mm-hmm. Why and what do you think are his problems this year?
I just think he's hot and cold. I think in some games, I think against Dallas, Jason played an outstanding football game. And really going into this game, Carolina, I thought he played a really good game. In this game, he didn't play the way Jason expects himself to play, and we understand that. I think he's a as highly competitive player as I've ever been around. You know, I don't know the exact. I haven't had a chance to sit down. We haven't met with those guys. We don't do that until tomorrow to be able to watch the film and then see on this play what was the, you know, getting some feedback from them. But, you know, I could tell during the course of the game that he was frustrated.
What was Miami's defensive line doing to kind of frustrate
you? I just think, especially those two inside kids, it really gave us some problems in terms of being gap charge kids, getting up the field. You know, I thought Sue played really, really well. And he's a handful because he not only is athletic and can beat you with the speed in terms of getting up the field, but if you are in the right spot, I think because he's so strong and powerful, he can knock you back. So it's a difficult matchup for us in terms of being able to hold up against somebody as good as him.
As far as you were talking about the lack of focus on detail being kind of a league-wide thing, can you pinpoint a reason for that? Is it practice restrictions or anything that you see?
I don't think it's – I think it's more of – you also have to give the other side credit, too, in terms of who you're playing against. You know, you played against a pretty good defensive tackle in Ndamukong Suh. So, that's what this game's all about, which team can play harder for longer and can be more focused than their opponent and execute. And it comes down to executing. And really, as I said, in those three games, it comes down to executing one more play than your opponent executed. And they out-execute us in those three games.
But the whole point of making the offensive overhaul and the personnel overhaul this offseason was to get out of that middle loop, right? I mean, to get from good to great was the quote that was mm-hmm. used a lot around here. I mean, why hasn't that transition taken place? I understand that a lot of teams are in that middle, but the whole point is to get out of
that. I think that's what everybody's point is. I mean, that's what everybody's striving to get to. We're all striving to get to that last game of the year and being able to play in February, and that's what this deal's all about. But I think, again, you still have to go just because you've acquired players. You need to. We all need to go out. We need to put a game plan together as coaches and put our guys in better position to make plays.
I know the tight ends had a big game receiving. The backs mm-hmm. caught a lot of passes. But do you feel like you have the wide receivers here that you need that when you do want to go outside and make plays outside that you can do it?
I think everything we do is dictated on who we play. So if we can throw for 300-plus yards by throwing to our tight ends and backs, then we'll continue to do that. And if they take them away, then we need to go to our outside receivers.
But what I'm saying is, do you feel like you have the outside receivers?
And I said, yes, I think we do. So, but in that game, you know, the matchups we thought that we were going to exploit was against their linebackers. Their best cover linebacker actually was Jelani, and Jelani went down and got hurt. So now we got a matchup against the linebackers and the safeties. And, again, I thought we felt like we did a good job exploiting that. Again, I think it's the penalties were the things on offensively. We moved the football. Very rarely were we in situations where we were stopping ourselves and they weren't stopping us. So it's not like, hey, we're not getting production from this or that. It's like, hey, we're calling good plays. We're always executing. We're making plays. Then we have a penalty, and now we're behind the stakes a little bit. So now we're first and 20 as opposed to, you know, first and 10 and 12 yards up. So
on the Murray average, 2.8 yards per carry. What were the issues there?
Some of it was it's a combination of everything. You know, are we blocking it up the right way? Are we hitting holes at the right time? We had some when Sam wasn't in there and Mark was in there, we had some handoff issues a little bit there. I think some of the snap issues there. So there were a couple different things involved in that. So.
On the block punt, did Marcus Smith and Trey Burton do the right thing? They both blocked to the right, about 49, to come up the middle to Maragos.
Yes, that was Chris's. Chris's guy on that play. The snap was a little bit off, so maybe the kick was off a little bit sooner, and Chris got to step up on that play.
Why do you think special teams hasn't played up to the level in general last year?
You know, that's one of the things I think when you're talking about games that are going to be close all the time, and in this league they are going to be close, it's just statistics bear it out, and a lot of times it comes down to special teams play, and we've had great special teams. Last year we were outstanding in the special teams aspect, and we haven't had the contributions. I think in the return game, we were anxious in this game because people had kicked away from Darren, but they kicked to Darren. But I don't think we did a great job in holding up, you know, to get Darren started and give him an opportunity to get going a little bit. You know, I think that was the one part we felt in going into this game that we knew from a scheme standpoint that they were going to kick it. And then we had to do a better job, but we didn't do a good job in our hold-up returns against them. And those are factors that I think when you come down to a one-point game, I don't think our special teams played as well as they've had in the past to give us an opportunity to win. So.
Chip, are you seeing enough urgency, and is that at all related to mistakes, some of the same mistakes being made over here?
Am I seeing enough urgency?
Yeah, are you seeing enough urgency?
Yeah, I think these players are focused and are urgent in terms of what we're trying to get accomplished, yeah.
In the fourth quarter, do you think is that related at all to mistakes?
No, I think if there was one thing, everybody would say, hey, if we fix this, we're golden. You know, it's an individual breakdown at different spots. You know, it's not one guy that has all the penalties against him. It's not one guy that has, you know, is not executing and is missing an assignment or missing a block or running a wrong route or doing the wrong thing. I think it's just in that game. It was one here, and then then we do a good job and get the ball driven down the field and score, and then the next time we do it, but then we have a penalty on that side that negates a play on that side. So there's not just one thing you can point at and say it's this. If we fix this, we're in great shape.
Is that more troublesome? Where you held Pekin Malice until after the 2-minute warning. Why was that?
Because we knew how much time was going to be left at the clock, and we would get the ball back with about a minute. We thought about a minute 50 with one timeout, so we felt very comfortable getting the ball with a minute 50, one timeout, that we'd have an opportunity to get into field goal range.
When you've had stood here after losses, it seems like generally you blame the offense more than the defense.
No. That's your perception.
Okay. The defense was.
I don't think our special teams played well yesterday either. I think our defense played well yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, and it's in that game. I'll just tell you exactly how the game came out. So if the game came out one way, it came out another way. But I think our defense played well yesterday. I don't think our offense played to the way we expected them to play. I don't think our special teams played to the way we expected them to play.
Well, previous losses, Dallas, Atlanta.
Dallas, our offense didn't play well.
Atlanta,
we had an opportunity. I thought our offense played well. Down the stretch, we didn't play well. You know, we had the ball down to the 10-yard line, but we had a holding penalty that put us back. We couldn't convert on a 3rd-and-1, and then we missed a field goal. So I would blame – I didn't think our defense played as poorly. We got it straightened out, I think, at halftime. Defensively, you know, Julio had what I think 8 catches or 9 catches in the first half, and had one catch in the second half. So, when I look at that, it's just how the games express themselves. So, I think that's what happened to us in our losses.
You made more changes on the offensive side of the ball than you did on the defensive side.
I don't think so. We changed our entire secondary on defense.
Well, 3 or 4, and then still the offense at 6 new starters at very important positions: quarterback, running back, guards. Do you feel like the changes that you made in the offseason?
There's 6 new changes on offense?
Yeah. We got one new
tight end the same. 2 receivers are the same. One receiver, one running back, a quarterback. Well, we didn't change Ertz. He was on the team last year.
We got 2 new starters on offense.
We have an outside receiver that's new, who's rotating in. There's 6 new starters on offense?
Yeah. Sam, DeMarco, yeah. Ertz.
Ertz isn't a star. Ertz is switching.
Playing more snaps than
whatever. Selleck is still here. Ertz is still here. It's not a change. Unless that helps you write your story, you can say it's
no,
a change. But I mean,
6 new starters.
Okay, we don't have 6 new starters. That's what I'm saying.
With Sanchez at the end, how do you balance wanting to be aggressive and trying to get a touchdown with your in field goal range to mm-hmm. take a lead with 4 minutes left?
There's time on the clock. There's 4:32, so I don't think at that point in time you're trying to shut it down and not play. You know, we're trying to score a touchdown. I think the important thing for us is we're going to try to score a touchdown and go for 2 to put us up 27-20. You know, and give ourselves a cushion because, one, they have a good field goal kicker in their own right that has a good leg and has good distance. But I think with 4:32, we had moved the ball, you know, with Mark in there. I thought he made some really good plays to play to DeMarco to get the ball down there, I think, on the same drive as a play to Ertz. You know, so he had made some really good decisions on it. And then we're just calling a base play where the play before it, we tried to run a stretch play. The backside linebacker flew. We didn't get a chance to get to him. Our guard got cut off. And they were over pursuing on our outside stretch play, so we came back and tried to run the naked off the outside stretch play. And then, you know, if it's covered, we got an option underneath. Let's just take that. It's 2nd-and-9. Now advance it. We'll get ourselves to a workable 3rd-down situation. You know, we can get ourselves into a 3rd-and-4, 3rd-and-5, and then figure out where we are, knowing that we're in field goal range. And just, you know, I'm sure it's a throw he wants back, and that's kind of how the game went. You know, it's just one of those games. You know, the Jarvis Landry catch on the tip ball where. You know, when you watch Malcolm on the play, he thinks the ball's going over to Max. Then he sees Max turning back and comes back for it. I've never seen that play. You know, we hit him for the safety, but the ball runs out the back of the end zone. We recover that ball. And there's a lot of different plays in that game where the ball just didn't seem to bounce our way. So.
The protocol allows the return to the meeting for the return to the field.
Say that again.
The protocol allows the player to come to meetings before mm-hmm. the field. Is that sufficient enough for Sam?
I don't know. We'll address Sam when we figure out what's wrong with him. I never get into hypotheticals because they could tell me he's already ruled out. So I don't really have a conversation about meetings, how much time, when can he get back, and all those other things. We just take it as it comes. So if they tell me he can play, then we'll make plans that he can play. If they tell me he can't play or if it's going to be an extended time, then we'll make plans then. But I don't. For me to sit here and talk about, we don't talk about it as a staff. We don't sit there and say, what if they give us this scenario, that scenario, that scenario. We're just trying to break down Tampa Bay tape and get ready for them.
What kind of conversation have you had with him since the
I haven't had any conversations with him.
Sanchez's history is that he's a good quarterback who makes a couple mistakes here and there. And it's like if you're driving home and you have 10 green lights, but then you run a red one and you're in an accident, you didn't have a successful trip home. So, I mean, it doesn't matter how many good plays
you
make.
That was a good analogy.
Thank you. I've been working on that. It doesn't matter how many good plays you have if you make that fatal mistake. And it's, have you seen enough of Mark over his history and his time with you?
With us, yes.
To say that,
I haven't really, I didn't study his history with the Jets that much.
But to say that, hey.
I feel very confident in Mark Sanchez.
What about the red light?
What's that?
But every now and then there's a red
light. He's not going to drive on the same road you are. Okay. Thanks.
Good stuff there, Bob.